Welcome to the third and final part of this sort of tech rehearsal for the St. Johnny online radio program. I'd like to thank this third part here, Danny Boy from my forum and whom I met in England, Scott Clifton out in California and recently departed from the debate at least, Luke, who had to go off and do something important, I'm sure. This has been a technical rehearsal, as I just mentioned, and there were some bugs, but I did note that it seemed that we had up to 13 listeners, and some people were able to hear okay. I'm coming through very clear, and people are talking to me. So we'll work that out. I'll try it again. It's going to be a busy schedule between here and January, so maybe what I'll do is I'll have to fly solo once on a test. Anyway, so back at it. Let's see, ground that's been covered. I think it's interesting. It's sort of introduced this here. You know, it's not like I wanted to get into semantics. But we do kind of tend to get there, and I really don't think that it's the tap dance that my dear friend Danny Boy alleged it to be. But I think that what tends to happen in a conversation like this is that the terms, besides having fluid meanings, among cultures and places and people, but even within a conversation, it can sort of change. And we've seen that with the word religion, the word dangerous. We've had dissonance come in, very, very big word. People around the world were looking that up. Dogma and dogmatism. And these things are going to be relevant. And I've got to say, Scott, I just don't understand your Jehovah Witness example. It seems to be that you said if they didn't have that particular belief, the kid would still be alive. I just don't understand how that flies, because we can go to Cambodia during the 70s, the killing fields, and there'd be a lot of people alive still if they didn't have that particular view. And I don't really think that you can get away with saying, well, you know, their secular humanism was a religion. I don't like that. But there's just one sort of final thought that I'm going to leave off, and then I'm going to come over here and look for some questions to answer. And simply put, no matter what we've said so far, they've all involved humans. And it seems like if there's going to be an independent moral code, one of the first things that's going to be on it is that people are bad. They're not good and bad. They're just bad, and sometimes they do good. Alright, so, and just to answer the question, we have a visitor listening in. He won't be participating. So here we go.
Okay, well, let me take on a little definition work myself here. It's just occurred to me that maybe we're having a problem that we've been trying to make a divide and talk about the difference between religion on the one hand and secular humanism or non-religious ideas on the other hand. What we should really be doing is look at these ideas one by one and say, is this dangerous? Now, that makes Scott's argument entirely reasonable. The idea that blood contains the soul, that as a Jehovah's Witness you must not accept blood transfusion, is going to be dangerous for a guy who needs a blood transfusion, or he's going to die. That's a dangerous idea. The genocidal ideology of the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia was a dangerous idea. The idea that condoms are inherently sinful in African countries where people are literally, some places 50% of the population is HIV positive. And unfortunately, much as President Bush may like to think so, abstinence only programs, I'm afraid, are not the answer, because a lot of these places don't have cable, and there's not much else to do of an evening. So people we people are people, yes, and people are going to do stupid things sometimes, and the things that we consider dangerous are things which either make them more likely to do stupid things or which make those stupid things potentially fatal for themselves and others. Just before I hand over to Scott, I would like to say a little word on the subject of good dangerous and bad dangerous. He mentioned that a lot of our heroes were dangerous people. That's very true, although we do tend to idealize dangerous people, so that's perhaps the reason why we do consider them heroes. I would like to say, however, that some of the heroes, some of the more pacifist or non-violent heroes, Gandhi, Jesus, yeah, I know, he wasn't non-violent, but, you know, he wasn't a warrior either. Well, he wasn't a fighter. I can feel you quibbling even in my head, you know, Tony. Jesus, Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr. These people had dangerous ideas. They were dangerous because they went against the prevailing orthodoxy. They weren't dangerous, say, for instance, to little children. Jesus posed no threat to little children. He was their friend. Gandhi would not kick a toddler. But the idea that that condoms are sinful is dangerous to little children because, you know, it means that their mothers get HIV and then they get it through breast milk. That's bad. And I think that's a whole different kind of dangerous from Jesus being a dangerous person.
Well said, Danny. Cool. So, Johnny, or Tony, I'm not going to respond to you not understanding the Jehovah's Witness thing, because I feel like Danny covered it. Type, no, you still don't understand if you still don't understand, but it seems pretty clear that without the belief that, well, anyway, he said it. Real quick, I know we're going to go on to questions, and this is sort of like the end, which makes me sad. Before Luke left, he kind of posed a challenge. He said, he kind of, in a sort of roundabout way, he said, find something wrong with the statement, Jesus died for our sins, and then he had to go. And I think he was saying that to illustrate a point, but I'm gonna take a go at it, actually. I'm going to say, and I only have 92 seconds to do it. If you believe that Jesus died for our sins, if you believe that we... And at first it was just two people, and they were born perfect, and then they sinned, and then because of the fact that they sinned, everybody else in the world is born sinful, and we have no choice but to be born into sin, and we have no choice but to commit sins throughout our entire lives, and there's no way that we can escape this karma except because we can't possibly live a good life. It's not even possible. The only way that we can not go to hell and be punished for this thing over which we have no control, Jesus, somebody price, for any sin that we possibly commit, you believe that I am not having to take responsibility for my own actions. I am not accountable for my own sins, because believing in this one thing makes me exempt from karma, or cause and effect. I can murder somebody, but it's okay as long as I believe that Jesus died for my sins. It's an excuse, and it does justify a whole lot of bad things. And I have 7 seconds left. So that's it. I just tried.
Unfortunately, there was a good section of there that... it's off mute. That we lost at least 15 seconds of what you said. And now I have to, now I lost my train of thought and reasoning. Yeah, it was your best material. So, you know. So I want to go back to this dogma thing here a little bit more with the Roman Catholics. You know, I think what concerns me here, there's a lot to that particular subject that would be helped if we understood the Roman Catholics a little bit more about why they believe that, so that we could really begin to trace, you know, these connections a little bit more, because it isn't like, you know, they just sat up on high and they said, okay, we're now against all condoms, are, what is the word, contraceptives. It didn't come out of the blue. There's some reasons for it. Now, there may be some parts to why they believe that and why they came to that conclusion that, you know, I would still not object to. But Danny's asking, does it matter? Yes, it matters. Because just because you have people who are what you might call religiously motivated, you still have people who are involved in here. And you said people will still do stupid things. Well, if they do a stupid thing in a religious way, then you look at it and you say, that's a stupid religious way. But you don't say, well, so all of the reasonings and the processes and the what we might say the substance is bad. There's good religion and there's bad religion. There's good science and there's bad science. There's good philosophy and there's bad philosophy. The question is, in what way is religion really unique? Isn't what we're really saying when we say that, aren't we really saying that belief at all is dangerous? That any kind of a belief about anything can be, no, of course you're not saying that. What I want to know is that I'm getting the flack here on the chat board. I know you're not saying that, but why aren't you saying that? What's the difference? Okay, I gotta give it up here or I'll lose it.
I apologize for that. That was a sneaky underhand trick. I called Tony a dumbass and made him laugh. Well, what was I gonna say? Yeah, okay, people do stupid things. Is belief itself dangerous? No, because if I believe that the right thing to do with my life is help people who are less fortunate than myself, so long as I don't believe that that is such an overriding necessity that I'll kill anyone who gets in my way, then belief's not harmful. Now, yeah, I suppose that what I'm saying there is if that belief was taken to extremes, that it could be harmful. Okay, but you don't get many fundamentalist humanists. I have to say, there may be fundamentalist atheists, and you may want to say that Dawkins is one of them. Perhaps so. Fundamentalists are perhaps what we have a problem with here, but okay, I'll make this my closing statement pretty much, right? Dogma is dangerous, fundamentalists are dangerous, so any idea, and let's reduce religions to ideas here, any idea which has a set text written a long time ago by people in an entirely different situation and which is meant to apply today is dangerous. Because, okay, most people are going to look at it and say, well, maybe I can use some of that as a guide. Fine, cool. I'll apply it where it applies and I'll ignore it when it doesn't. However, if you've got a fundamentalist, then they're going to say, no, this applies. This is my rule book for life. And in that situation, they're going to make a lot of choices which maybe don't quite fit in with reality and maybe don't quite fit in with other people's right to do what they like, such as breathe, you know? So I think that would be my final thought here on why religion over non-religion is more likely to be dangerous in a bad way, to clarify that, than secularism, as a for instance. I'll let Scott throw his hand to the ring now.
All right. Well, I guess we got 10 minutes. I don't know if this is a closing statement. Johnny, since you're the only one left, we have answered the question. Is religion dangerous? Yeah, we've answered it. We've given examples. We've showed you how certain situations would be remedied had religion not reared its ugly head. We've given you scenarios in which a good thing happens without religion and a bad thing happens with religion. We've given you many different ways, I mean, on an abstract level, on a specific level, in many different ways we've answered the question. Yes, religion is dangerous. It does dangerous things. It influences dangerous things. And for you to respond to all of that with the broad, general sweep of, yeah, but that's people, is entirely beside the point. Of course it's people. We've known that since the very beginning. You're not saying anything. And I think by saying, you need to find something specific. You need to find something specific that distinguishes religion from... No, we don't. We don't need to find something specific that distinguishes religion from anything. Religion can be dangerous. Other things can also be dangerous. Many things can influence human beings and decisions and paths in life, and offense and harm. But religion is one of them. We've answered the question. And just because you try to reformulate the question or ask the question differently is not evading the fact that we've already discussed and answered what the whole point of this talk was. That's it.
Oh, now this is just rich. So let me just cap off Danny's closing statement here. Basically, he just took aim in a 40-second spot with... all of revealed religion, and I've got maybe there's 6 minutes in our whole session to deal with that. That's a nasty trick, Danny Fleckno, and you're going to pay for that one. And now, I'm just going to have to set Danny aside for a minute here and go after what you just said, Scott, because I don't think you're really getting the point here. You've showed that religious is dangerous. Caveat, can be dangerous, and then you go on to say, just like a lot of other things, and that's my point. The question is even the question, is religion dangerous, meaningful? Now, let's say that we've got the answer to the question, is religion dangerous, is yes. Now the question is, who cares? Now we can have another hour saying, is no religion dangerous? And that, I would think, I'm not changing the question. I'm saying let's concede everything. Let's concede by your definitions. Let's give it to you. Okay, on the raw point of is religion dangerous, you've got your answer, yes. But if you look at both the opening statements to both Luke and I, we already conceded that. And, I mean, so from that, if your measure of victory is to scour the opening points for points that have already been conceded and then making them again, hey, that's, go for it. But what I'm getting at, I'm not changing the question. I'm saying, going back to what my point is, now let's take another hour to ask the question, is non-religion dangerous as well? My answer will be yes, and for the same reasons, because people are dangerous. And people are dangerous because people are corrupt. Now, there are some good things that people do, but people don't need reasons to do bad things. And that requires an explanation, which I think Christianity provides. And I guess that'll just have to be another topic. So, here we go here. We've got a challenge on the chat board. You didn't concede dangerous in a bad way, only a good way, which I still don't understand. I don't understand your question exactly, so let me just give it to Danny here. We've only got 4 minutes left here, folks.
Okay, so I thought that was my closing statement. Maybe this is. I'd love to, but I can't afford to take another hour on the further questions because it's 3:30 in the morning here in my country, and I need to get to bed sometime soon. I think, Tony, in brief response to what you're saying, here, I want to say yes, we all agree that people do bad things. I think the point that Scott and I have been making is that religion as it is in the world today, institutionalized, big hierarchies, all very invested, not in questioning the received wisdom, but in perpetuating the received wisdom, are an especially rigid and an especially good way for people to be incredibly stupid and do very harmful things to each other. So, you know, there we get into shades of grey. Is religion more dangerous than this? Is it more dangerous than that? Well, we can't address that here, and I don't think anybody can. It comes down to matters of opinion then. What I want to say is religion has been used, is being used, and will be used by some of the nastiest people on the planet, some of whom are public enemy number one, and some of whom are in high positions of office in various countries around the world, to justify all kinds of terrible things, which in other circumstances, if religion didn't exist, they would have to come up with other justifications for. And, you know, who isn't in favor of making nasty people do more work than they need to? Because, you know, they've got excuses sitting right there, and I don't think it's a sufficient defense, as the National Rifle Association do, to say, well, look, people are going to do bad things. It's nothing to do with us if we give them means to do them. That's a trick. That's an easy way out. Yeah, people do stupid things, but you don't put the gun in their hands if they're crazy. So that's what we're saying. Religion does good? Yes. People do bad? Yes. Religion helps people do bad. And that is something that you can't get out of by saying, well, they do bad anyway. This helps them do bad.
I'm going to throw it off to Scott here to make his closing statement, and then I'll make mine and some parting words. So, Scott, there you go.
Okay, I think everything has been said eloquently by all of you, and I just appreciate even being here. This isn't so much a closing statement as an afterthought. We've been saying all along that religion is used to justify bad things. People do bad things, and religion is used to justify those bad things, as if you know, the fault of religion is that it's not stopping people from doing bad things. No, it's worse than that. It's a lot worse than that. In many religions, the bad things are mandatory. You are supposed to cut off a woman's private part in certain religions. You are supposed to stone a woman to death if she's not married, or if she's not a virgin on her wedding night. You are supposed to do a million atrocious and horrible things, and it's not that religion is justifying us doing them like we really wanted to do them anyway. It's telling us to do them. There is an instruction manual inherent in religion, and it is used for doing things that are incredibly shameful, that, you know, I mean, apparently it's incumbent upon the culture to decide, but I don't want us to get away from this thinking that it's a passive, oh, religion allows people to do bad things. No, religion is harmful. Religion instructs us to do horrible, horrible things, and has so throughout history. And I'm done.
Blarney. That was some good stuff we just lost there. I forgot to turn off my mute. I'm now heading into into my closing statement here after zinging both Danny and Scott while muted. We didn't take any questions because as I looked at them, I saw that they were really the things that we were talking about that was in the chat room. So let me make my closing statement here, and then give a few parting words, more like, you know, thanks and things like that. So here we go. Throughout this whole sort of episode here, my central point, and Luke finally, he did sort of start making it as well, is simply that there is one particular religious dogma that is actually fairly well grounded in all of human experience throughout all time, and that's found in the Christian church, and it's called original sin. And basically the idea is that people are fallen. Scott exhibited some awareness of this, seemed to have done a pretty good job until we lost 15 seconds of his dialogue. Now, never mind how you might feel about that, per se. But when you look around, you see people doing nasty things, and they're going to do it with justification or without. And that's just all there is to it. It's going to be the people. Now, I'm more than happy to get on the bandwagon and go after some of what we might say call harmful elements in many of the religions, the dogmatics or whatever like that, that we might want to do. But I do not think that we can do that while simultaneously ignoring the root cause, the root problem of all of it. If Betty Jo, the Christian, decides to go and cut off the head of Jack for religious reasons, that's naughty. But if, for the same reason, Bobby Sue goes over and cuts off the head of Danny Boy, because, you know, he wants a calculator. I'm looking around my desk for things for my analogies. Then you can't really put it onto the belief, really. It's still going to be the person, and that's not a cop-out. And that doesn't say that we don't, that doesn't go away from Danny's point that we don't give the crazy person the gun, but we still recognize that there's the word crazy before the word person. Now, it is my belief that the most dangerous people in the world are actually you atheists. And here's why. Because you don't actually agree that people are going to, by nature, tend to do bad things. And so you don't approach the world that way. And so, it's only a matter of time before it comes and gets us all right in the butt. No, you don't. You don't. Besides, I got the last word. Anyway, I said that actually to in part because I wanted to incite the same kind of riot in Danny Boy's mind that he did when he opened that huge topic of, you know, the revealed revelation. But seriously, just very quickly, you know, Richard Dawkins in his book The God Delusion, you know, he says all these things, but he doesn't seem to remember or realize that, let's say, take his child abuse stuff. Someone has to come along and enforce these things. Maybe it'll be Dawkins, maybe it'll be somebody else. Maybe the first person who enforces these good principles is a good person, but the second, third, or fourth person, they might not be. Now, I, as a Christian, know that that's coming, and we'll plan accordingly. So anyway, yeah, we need to close this up. I'd like to thank Danny, thank Scott, thank Luke for participating in this little technical jaunt. I'm going to do darn better the next time. I will figure out what on earth happened, and I greatly appreciate it. Remember, Scott's got his music CD available at scottclifton.com, and only to be fair, I should probably indicate that I have my own book coming out here at birthpangs.com, due out in December. You know, got to be fair. Don't want Johnny to get angry for being excluded. We will have this a radio program very much like this beginning in January with people sitting around kicking around ideas, and I hope people really like it and enjoy it and get a kick out of it. So, thank you all very much, and I will end this recording, and then if any of you guys in the room here would like to say a little bit more by way of goodbyes, we certainly can. God's feast, God's bless, stjohnny.com. Adios.